Hebrews 7, 11 through 19. One of our ladies asked a question prior to the service as to whether believers had to become Jewish or Jews in order to be saved. And the answer is no. And this message tonight actually answers this question. In Hebrews 7, the main idea is that Christ has a more excellent ministry than the Levitical priests. The Levitical priests served the Israelites throughout the Old Testament. They were Jewish. Christ is not only the high priest for Jews, but also for Gentiles. And we are not put under the law in order to be saved. So we don't have to go through the process of circumcision in order to become saved. And that was the issue in Acts 15 in the council at Jerusalem. And it was answered very clearly that the Gentiles are not under the law, that we do not have to become Jewish people in order to be saved. Again, in Hebrews 7, the main idea is that Christ has a more excellent ministry than the Levitical priests. And the thought returns to Hebrews 5:10, where Jesus was said to be called of God or called by God an high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was not a Jew. He actually lived before Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They brought, they're the fathers of the Jewish nation, but he was a contemporary, not a descendant of Abraham. Believers, therefore, we have seen in 4:14 through 16, should hold fast their confession of faith. We've seen a description of the office of high priest in 5:1 through 4, and we have seen that Christ is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek in 5:5 through 10. We've also seen that an appeal and warning has been given in 5:11 through 6:12, which, because of the reader's spiritual dullness, urges them to go on in Christ, lest some be found among them who are not genuinely saved. In 6:13 through 20, it was seen that Christ became the believer's forerunner within the veil, meaning into the very presence of God. As a result, after the crucifixion, believers may follow Jesus into the very presence of God. In chapter 7, Melchizedek is seen as a type of Christ and is seen to have a greater priesthood than the Levitical priests. We have already seen that a historical summary of Melchizedek is given in 7:1 through 3. And then last week we saw in 7:4 through 10 that Melchizedek is superior to Abraham because Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek and because Melchizedek blessed Abraham. Now this means that Melchizedek is also superior to the Levitical priests because the Levitical priests are descended from Abraham and because they die, whereas Melchizedek still lives. Furthermore, the Levitical priests paid tithes to Melchizedek while still in Abraham, which demonstrated his superiority over them. Inasmuch as Christ is a high priest forever like Melchizedek, these things show that Christ and his priesthood are also superior to the Levitical priests and their priesthood. Thus, Christ has a more excellent ministry than the Levitical priests. Now, in today's message, we will begin a section which indicates that perfection comes through Christ and his priesthood, but not through the Levitical priesthood. In our next message, it will be pointed out that the Levitical priests died, and therefore the priesthood changed from one priest to another as each one died, whereas Christ never dies. And as a result, his priesthood is unchangeable. It means that it never changes to another priest. We will see that since perfection does not come by the Levitical priesthood, it was necessary that there be another priest like Melchizedek. Since the priesthood must be changed, the law must also be changed, because the law required that the priest be from the tribe of Levi, but Christ was from the tribe of Judah rather than from the tribe of Levi. Christ is a priest like Melchizedek on the basis of his endless life rather than on the basis of the law. The law which placed the Levitical priests in their position has been rescinded because it was unable to bring about perfection. Christ and his high priesthood have brought about perfection and have enabled believers to draw near to God. So, this was written to Jewish people. Hebrews was written to Jewish people. And the message for them is, if you are a Jew and contemplating abandoning Christianity and returning to Judaism, realize that you are making a big mistake. If you are genuinely saved, you will never abandon Christianity. You will never do this. But if you are not genuinely saved, and as a result you completely forsake Christianity, there will be no turning back. You can't undo abandoning Christ and Christianity. That takes care of the people that think you can lose your salvation today, get it back tomorrow, lose it the following day, get it back after that. It cannot be done. We see, beginning in verse 11, that since perfection does not come by the Levitical priesthood, it is necessary that there be another priest like Melchizedek. If, therefore, perfection, notice that word that's next, were, that tells you it's not. If, therefore, perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? Now, in the Greek text, verse 11 is what we call a contrary to fact condition. This means that for the sake of argument or discussion, the condition is assumed to be false. And it actually is false. Perfection could not come by the Levitical priesthood. The condition is, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, but perfection did not come and could not come by the Levitical priesthood. The conclusion is expressed by the question, what further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? Now remember, Aaron was a descendant of Levi, so he was the first Levitical high priest. Inasmuch as the condition is false, so is the conclusion. What is implied is that perfection did not come under the Levitical priesthood, and that therefore there must be another priest who should arise after the order of Melchizedek rather than after the order of Aaron, or rather than as one of the Levitical priests. If is used in the sense of assuming that. Therefore draws an inference and is understood in the sense of then or consequently or accordingly or so. Perfection reminds the readers that the offerings of the Levitical priesthood did not bring about the desired completion. What does that mean? It means it did not bring about this perfection because it did not remove any sin. That's the difference. The Levitical priesthood never could remove any sin. Their offerings, which were offered every year repeatedly, could not take away sin. But Christ's death on the cross and subsequent resurrection removed the sins of believers. The reader is reminded, however, of Hebrews 10:14. We're not there yet, but it states there, by one offering he, meaning Christ, hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. That means you and I, who have placed our trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, have been perfected forever. Our sins have been permanently removed. And that's not just the ones that we have completed or we have committed, rather, prior to our salvation, but all of them throughout our entire lives have also been completely forgiven. In contrast, the priests stood daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins, according to Hebrews 10:11. Thus, the writer is referring in chapter 7 to the same thing he's going to state explicitly in chapter 10. Now, in English, here's an English lesson for you this time. The use of were rather than was points out to the English readers that this is a contrary to fact condition. It indicates that the condition is false. This is one of those truths that some of you were taught in school or should have been taught in school and probably were while you were sleeping through English grammar, okay? Especially the men. The ladies seemed to pick up the English grammar in school better than the boys and the men. What do I need this for? Remember, that's the attitude some of you had. This is why you needed it, so you could understand the Bible, all right? I know you get all kinds of lessons about language when you come to my church. We had Hebrew and Greek lessons this morning. Now we've got English lessons tonight. The use of were points out that this was a contrary to fact condition, and it indicates that the condition is actually false. If I were to come over to your house for ice cream tonight, you know I'm not coming, all right? If I were to say if I was, it would be bad English. All right, so much for that. By the way, I am not coming over to your house for ice cream this evening. Maybe some other night, but not now, all right. Back to this, I'm not begging for ice cream. My wife gives me ice cream every once in a while, whether I'm good or bad, all right? By the Levitical priesthood is through the Levitical priesthood or by means of the Levitical priestly office. perfection does not come by the Levitical priesthood. And since this condition, the condition is, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, since this condition is a condition that is contrary to fact, perfection, if it comes at all, must come through some channel other than the Levitical priesthood. 4 introduces a parenthetical statement and indicates an explanation. For under it, meaning under the Levitical priesthood, the people received the law. Under it is on it, on the ground of it, or on the basis of it, where it is referring to the Levitical priesthood. The people refers to the people of Israel. Received is had received, and its tense indicates action which occurred in the past whose result has continued on. And what they had received on the basis of the Levitical priesthood was the law. The question is then asked, what further need? And it suggests what necessity, or still what need? Was there, as you can tell by the italics, has been supplied by the translators as a verb. It is literally, what is the further need? The need is indicated by 2 phrases. One is positive, one is negative. The positive need is that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek. Now, the word translated another suggests another of a different type or of a different kind, comparing or contrasting someone else as a priest, but not a Levitical priest, and it's comparing this different priest with a priest found in the Levitical system. This other priest is the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom, according to Hebrews 5:5-6, quoting Psalm 110:4, God the Father said, "Thou art a priest after the order of Melchizedek." Going back, that another priest should arise, that another priest should rise, is should rise up or should arise, and it's used in the sense of should appear or should come after the order of Melchizedek, is just like Melchizedek or of the type of Melchizedek, because he technically had no order in that he never needed to be replaced. Neither does Jesus ever need to be replaced. You see, there is no record of Melchizedek's death. Therefore, it was not a changing priesthood like the priesthood of the Levitical priests. The need is then described negatively by and not be called after the order of Aaron. Aaron, who was descended from Levi, was the first high priest. And when he died, another of the sons of Levi was appointed to take his place as high priest. Jesus was not from this type of priesthood because he is eternal and will never be succeeded by someone else as the believer's high priest. In addition, in verse 12, we see that since the priesthood must be changed, the law must also be changed. Why is this? Well, the law required that the priest be from the tribe of Levi. But as you know, Jesus didn't come from the tribe of Levi. He came from the tribe of Judah. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. 4 is explanatory, understood in the sense of now. The priesthood refers to the office of a priest. Being changed is understood in the sense of because the priesthood is changed, since the priesthood is changed, or inasmuch as the priesthood is changed. By changed, the writer means passed on to another person. Hence, or here rather, the change in the priesthood is from the Levitical priests to Christ, who is made a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. There is made of necessity a change also of the law. There is made is simply there comes to be, there becomes, there happens, or there takes place. Of necessity is out of necessity, out of compulsion, because of necessity or because of compulsion. Also suggests, in addition to having a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, what was made out of necessity was a change of the law. A change means a transformation. Now, summing it up, Jesus was not from the tribe of Levi. Yet according to the law, the priests had to be from the tribe of Levi. Hence, for Jesus to become the believer's high priest, this law would have to be changed. And it was. Okay? Next, in verses 13 through 14, we see that Christ was from the tribe of Judah rather than from the tribe of Levi. Now, we're aware of that because we're familiar with the scriptures. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For introduces an explanation of verse 12. He of whom these things are spoken refers to Jesus. Of whom is upon whom or to whom? These things are spoken refers to the statement, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, as well as to the statement, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee, when God the Father appointed Jesus as high priest. These statements are both found in Hebrews 5 through 6, which of course you remember explicitly, right? I'm telling you, this is not the easiest section in Scripture because it deals with things that we're not familiar with. Pertaineth is belongs to. Another tribe is another tribe of a different kind, different sort. It was a tribe different from the tribe of Levi. In other words, as I've already said, Jesus came from the tribe of Judah rather than from the tribe of Levi, of which is from which, and means from which tribe. No man is simply no one or nobody gave attendance at, suggests officiated at the altar, which is the place of sacrifice. Summing it up, no one from the tribe of Judah, the tribe from which Jesus came, ever officiated at the altar. Verse 14, for it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. Verse 14 continues the explanation of why there was a necessity, of necessity, I should say, a change of the law with the change of the priesthood. It tells us why the law had to be changed. For is used in the sense of now. It refers to the fact that our Lord sprang out of Judah. And in the Greek text, the phrase that our Lord sprang out of Judah is the subject of the verb is, which has been supplied by the translators. It reads in the Greek text that our Lord sprang out of Judah is evident. It is evident means it's clear, it's plain, or it's known to all. Our Lord is a clear reference to Jesus Christ. It is also an evident reminder of his lordship over believers. You do understand that, don't you? As a believer, You should have given your life to the Lord to live for Him, which means you made Him the Lord of your life. That's what we as believers must do if you haven't already done so. And if you need some assistance with that, I would be happy to help you. And we've got a dozen or so people around here that would also be glad and able to help you. Sprang, when used of one's origin, means has descended. Its tense indicates an activity completed in past time, the result of which continues on. He rose up or sprang up out of the tribe of Judah in the past, and as a result, he still belongs to the tribe of Judah. Why am I an American? I was born here. I've been one all my life. It's not going to change now. Why am I what I am? Because that's what God made me. He sprang out of Judah, which indicates the tribe from which the Lord Jesus came. This obviously means that he was not a member of the tribe of Levi from which the Levitical priests came. Thus, it is clear that there must be a change of the law, as verse 12 has indicated, because Christ is not a Levite, of which tribe is literally unto which tribe, and refers again to the tribe of Judah. Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. Why is Moses mentioned? Because he is the giver of the law. Concerning is about. The instructions regarding priesthood were spoken unto the tribe of Levi and were not spoken unto the tribe of Judah. As we move on, we see also in verses 15 through 17 that Christ is a priest like Melchizedek on the basis of his endless life, rather than on the basis of the law. And yet it is far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest. Verse 15 continues the explanation begun in verse 11, that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek, and indicates that something is yet far more evident. It is far more evident than the fact that there is going to be a change of the law because Christ was descended from Judah rather than Levi. What is far more evident is that there is going to be another priest arising after the order of Melchizedek. Yet far more evident is even more evident, or clearer still. Evident is an emphatic form of the word translated evident in verse 14 and means very clear or quite plain. For that after the similitude of Melchizedek there ariseth another priest appears in the Greek text as a form of supposition based on actual fact. It is literally, if after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest and introduces a simple condition which, for sake of discussion, is assumed to be true. And it really is true. Inasmuch as the condition is actually true, for that, which is the translation of the word meaning if, is to be understood in the sense of because, since, or inasmuch as. After the similitude of Melchizedek suggests, just like Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, is another priest is arising, another priest appears, or another priest comes. And another is the same word we've seen before in this text, another of a different sort or of a different kind. And of course, this reference is to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is a priest of a sort different from the Levitical priests, in that he's part of the tribe of Judah and not part of the Levitical system. He is a priest like Melchizedek rather than a priest like the sons of Aaron, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Verse 16 describes this priest of a different sort who is going to arise after the similitude of Melchizedek, who refers to this other priest, meaning to the Lord Jesus Christ, has been made. Its perfect tense in the Greek text indicates an action completed in past time with its result continuing on. Thus, Jesus was made something in the past which he had not been previously, and he continues to be that something in the present. The context implies that he has become a high priest. He wasn't a high priest before he became one, and continues to be a high priest. He will always be the believer's high priest. First, it is stated negatively. He has been made a high priest, not after the law of a carnal commandment. And the implication of this statement is that although he had become a high priest, it was not because he was of the tribe of Levi. No law made Christ a high priest. Of a carnal commandment is used to describe law, and it means of a fleshly commandment, of a fleshly command, or of a fleshly order, and suggests a commandment, command, or order which belongs to the realm of the flesh, but introduces a strong contrast with the manner in which Jesus was not made a high priest. Positively, Jesus has been made a high priest after the power of an endless life. In both uses, after is the preposition according to or in accordance with. The power of an endless life is literally an endless life's power. An endless life indicates that Jesus will live forever and enables Jesus to be a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Unlike the Levitical priests, Jesus will live forever. Therefore, he will be a priest forever. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Verse 17 explains why Jesus has been made a high priest after the power of an endless life. The reason is introduced by for, which is used in the sense of because. He refers to God the Father. Testifieth means is bearing witness or is witnessing. Its tense indicates something that is presently and continuously going on. This is so because God made this statement, which is recorded in the scripture, and the scripture still says the same thing it always said. What he is testifying, what God the Father is testifying is, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, which was written in Psalm 110:4 and quoted in Hebrews 5:6, and has been referred to several times in this passage. Thou refers to Christ and is emphatic. Art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek indicates that Jesus is a priest and that this will never change. However, he is not a priest according to the Levitical order. Instead, he's a priest according to the nature of Melchizedek, which means just like Melchizedek. Moreover, in verses 18 through the first half of 19, we see that the law which placed the Levitical priests in their position has been rescinded, because it was unable to bring about perfection. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. Verse 18 returns to the theme of verse 12 that the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For there is verily is emphatic and suggests, for in fact there is certainly, now there is certainly, or now there is in fact. What there is in fact is a disannulling of the commandment going before. Now a disannulling is a legal technical term meaning an annulment. It means that the command is being rescinded. In particular, it is a rescinding of the commandment going before, which means a rescinding of the commandment made long ago. This refers to the commandment or the order which was made regarding the Levitical priesthood as part of the law. In other words, there was an end of the Levitical priesthood for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For suggests because of or on account of and introduces the reason there was an annulment or rescinding of the commandment made long ago. The weakness means the powerlessness and suggests the feebleness. And unprofitableness means and uselessness thereof is of it and means of the commandment. It is referring to the law which placed the Levitical priests in their position. The commandment has now been rescinded because it was feeble and useless. It served a purpose, but this purpose is no longer valid. Now, don't forget, God is the one who gave this commandment under the law, and he was completely aware that it was only going to be temporary, that it would never forgive sin. It would only tell you what sin was. It would never provide forgiveness for it. And so we move on into verse 19, the first part of it. Verse 19 says, for the law made nothing perfect. Verse 19 explains why the commandment made long ago was weak and useless, as is indicated by for, which is understood in the sense of now. The law refers to the Mosaic law. Made nothing perfect means perfected nothing. The law did not bring anything to its end, its goal, or its completion. Perfection reminds the readers that the offerings of the Levitical priesthood did not bring about the desired completion. The law did not bring about this perfection in the sense that the law did not remove any sin. The law only shows what sin is. However, Hebrews 10:14 clearly states that by one offering he, meaning Christ, hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. In contrast, the priests stood daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. As we move into the second half of verse 19, we see that Christ and his high priesthood have brought about perfection and enabled believers to draw near to God. But the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. But introduces a contrast. Although the law made nothing perfect, the bringing in of a better hope did, and implies did, make something perfect. The bringing in of a better hope suggests the introduction of a better hope and means that the better hope was introduced or brought in. The better hope is the Lord Jesus Christ and his high priesthood. He has provided for eternal redemption and functions as the believer's high priest, ever living to make intercession for us. By the which, or through which, refers to hope. It is this hope by which we draw nigh unto God, or through which we draw near to God. We draw near is we are drawing near, we are approaching, or we are coming near. Do you remember Hebrews 4:16? Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Believers did this when they placed their trust in the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Believers did come boldly unto the throne of grace, and believers did obtain mercy and find grace to help in their time of need. That's what we have done as saved people. We came to the throne of grace. We placed our trust in Jesus as our Savior. He forgave our sins. That was the mercy. And we did find grace to help in our time of need. It is Christ's position as their great high priest by which Jesus enables them to draw near to God the Father. Now, to sum up, here's what we have seen. We have seen that since perfection does not come by the Levitical priesthood, it was necessary that there be another priest like Melchizedek. We've also seen that since the priesthood must be changed, the law must also be changed, because it required that the priest be from the tribe of Levi. In addition, we've seen that Christ was from the tribe of Judah rather than from the tribe of Levi. We've furthermore seen that Christ is a priest like Melchizedek on the basis of his endless life rather than on the basis of the law. We've also seen that the law which placed the Levitical priests in their position has been rescinded, because it was unable to bring about perfection, in that the law did not remove any sin. It only shows what sin is. Now, the law was a whole lot bigger than the offerings. It included Sabbath worship, for example. Now, I know the Seventh-day Adventists haven't figured that out yet, but that's what it included. It included everything in the law. Finally, we have seen that Christ and his high priesthood have brought about perfection and enabled believers to draw near to God. It seems like I skipped something there. We've also seen that the law, which placed the Levitical priests in their position, has been rescinded, because it was unable to bring about perfection, in that the law did not remove any sin. It only shows what sin is. I have trifocals. The line got in the wrong place when I looked back down at my notes. You understand how that works if you have these. And if you don't, praise the Lord, you don't have to put up with them yet. Give it another 30 years. You might be surprised what you'll have to put up with. Finally, we've seen that Christ and his high priesthood have brought about perfection and enabled believers to draw near to God. Christ is our great high priest, and he has completely removed our sin by paying for it in full when he died on the cross in payment for our sins. His sacrifice became effective for us at the instant We placed our trust in him as our Savior. Our sin was removed from our account, and that includes the sins we have not yet committed. And it was replaced with Christ's righteousness. As a result, when God the Father looks at us, he does not see our sin. Rather, he sees Christ's righteousness, which has been placed in our accounts. What a blessing. Although we still have our old sin natures, they will be forever removed at death or at the rapture, whichever comes first. At the rapture, we will be made completely like the Lord Jesus Christ. God will have completed our salvation, and we will receive our new resurrection bodies. And of course, we certainly look forward to this, whether it comes during our lifetimes or after we have died and gone to be with the Lord. Going to be with the Lord prior to the rapture isn't bad, you know. It's a whole lot better than what we have now. But the rapture is even better yet. We're looking forward to it. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you that we have this privilege of studying the Word of God and of submitting our hearts and minds to it. And we know this is not an easy passage, but I pray that you'll help each one of our listeners to understand it and to go on living faithfully for you. Thank you that you died on the cross, Jesus. Thank you that you paid for our sins in full. Thank you that we have experienced forgiveness. Help us to live faithfully for thee out of gratitude for what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.